On today's episode of The Good Word, Jason Goff joins us to talk about the past, present, and future of the Chicago Bulls, what's coming for the women's college basketball game, a battle of two Americas, and what to expect in the playoffs from both Joel Embiid and the LA Clippers. That and much more coming up right now on the episode of The Good Word.
Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports. Ball don't lie. And here it's Vince Goodwill.
Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. We are part of the Ball Don't Lie podcast. Get us wherever you get your podcast. It is Monday, which means we have a guest. And right as I was thinking of him last week, right as John Gennaro was texting me, hey, we should get Jason Goff on the podcast. Guess what? He took his ass. He took his ass to the right time with Bomani Jones on Wednesday, talking about Freaknik, talking about Chicago sports. I'm like, ain't this a
Yeah, that's what it was. Hey, man, good to see you. Good to talk to you. It's funny, while we were getting ready to do the pod, Dominique Foxworth just hit me up. He's like, I heard you on Bo, heard you on Bill, figured I'd check in. So it's good that all my brethren, you know, out there in the sports world want to check in on your boy to make sure I'm still breathing here in the city of Chicago. It's good. It's good.
It's a Venn diagram, I would say.
That's it.
We're all one degree of separation from everybody. For those who know Jason's voice or his face on NBC Sports Chicago, of course, he does pre and post game there. They do a great job. And Jason be out there wearing these pink suits, white suits, turtlenecks, all this stuff that got all the old school Chicago players like, who did we raise out here in these streets? All right. He's also the host of the Full Go podcast on the Ringer Network with the Chicago sports scene. And of course, this is like his fourth time on this podcast. I think the last time he was here, Jason was dropping jewels on the Love Doctor show. Hopefully, Jason is still, you know, bequeathed at this point. You know what I mean? Hopefully, that didn't get you in trouble.
No, it didn't get me in any trouble because we have a strict policy in this household not to consume anything the other person is doing professionally. You know, my lady is on Married at First Sight, and I watch that when we sit down and she want me to talk about what's going on in the show, and she doesn't really get down with sports in any way, shape, or form, so I can get everything off on these pods. I gotta be honest with you. And then when she finds out, you know, we'll see what the we'll see what the results are. But, you know, shout out to Happy Homes, I guess.
Hey, I can't relate. That's all I can say. Can't relate to such things.
We're gonna talk about that in the text. We ain't gonna do that.
That's for a later date. I gave y'all way too much done to Love Doctor show. But
man, I was sitting there like, look at Vinny out here being vulnerable. You know, it's my first time meeting Jamel, first time meeting Monica. Yeah, man, it was cool. I had a ball.
We had a ball. The reactions was cool. Monica loved it. Jamel loved it. Everybody else loved it. It was on February 14th, Valentine's Day, if you guys want to go back and listen to that, of course. But Jason, of course, with the Bulls, we're going to go deep into the Bulls and some of the nonsense and some of the optimism and some of the, I don't even know if they're in the holding pattern. We're going to get to a little bit of that later, but just to start, because this is Monday morning and it's early, just got a tweet from Woj saying that Joel Embiid is nearing a return and is supposed to play this week, coming off of a left meniscus injury. Jason, me and you were both in Chicago when Derrick Rose suffered the second meniscus injury in 2015 that he missed like maybe 6 weeks and came back during the playoffs and he was trying to look like himself. Mm-hmm. That's Derrick Rose at 6'3", 185, 190 pounds. Joel Embiid, 7'1", pushing 3 bills on a knee, on a team that I don't see having real playoff prospects. Do you see the return on this investment for him and for them? Or do you think this is a lot of, hey, I'm also playing in the Olympics this year, so I got to get myself all the way right?
I think it's some of that. And I also think, like, what do we talk about when it comes to Joel Embiid? We say the things about Joel Embiid that we don't say about any other star in terms of his sheer numbers. Like, the numbers go down in the playoffs. Yes. Like, they're not what they are supposed to be, especially.
Demon drop low numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you get more minutes, you know, you get more exposure. Like, I love the playoffs because you're not going against bad pitching, right? You ain't going through against 3 through 5 starters in that rotation. You're going against 1s and 2s. So now let's find out in a phone booth over the next 11 days, 7 games. I know what you do. You know what I do. Can you play over the play? Like, these are the moments that we crown people in, right? So that's what we're waiting on with Joel. And I think, like, if we look at the Joel career arc, Vinny, I mean, this went from the project, you know, all this other stuff, the process. And then, you know, we get to young Joel. I'm enjoying myself dancing on stages at concerts and everybody tweeting at Rihanna and all the stuff that, you know, young dudes carry on with. He was having fun with his career. Then it got real serious. And then Kawhi Leonard happened, right? Mm. Then Kawhi Leonard happened, and then we see, like, it was like the transformation, right? It was like when Red became Malcolm X, right? Where it's like, okay, now he's getting serious. he done got married. He got a family. When the last time you seen Joel smile? Right? Like, for the last 2 years, all we've seen is mean face Joel going out there, going at it with Nikola Jokic, saying that he's the best center, winning MVPs. So now the next step in this is this playoff, sir. And maybe he's ready, maybe he's not ready. And I will judge him appropriately because we've seen guys drag legs throughout the playoffs. Yes, but this is a badge of honor that he's trying to earn right now. Joel Embiid has come back in a situation where Boston's going crazy, right? There's a couple of upstarts in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee still got that thing that we're holding on to, even though taking a look at it, you know.
Looking funny in the light.
Milwaukee's got that vibe. Like, hey, y'all, that window might have closed as soon as it opened. But we in the background because we're watching Chris Middleton drag that leg around. Philadelphia's got themselves a nice little spot here where it's like, all right, if Joel comes back and he's 75% of the Joel and they don't win, right? So they get to the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston and they lose in 6 games or something like that. That's going to be stripes on his shoulder.
Yes.
Right. Finally, in the playoffs, he did something that we didn't expect him to do, whether it be win a championship or play above his numbers. So I think he's in a win-win kind of situation outside of the fact that he doesn't get injured again. Right. If he doesn't exacerbate this knee surgery and comes back too early and actually plays well enough and looks healthy enough, I think this is a win for him. But we've been waiting on it. Right. We've been waiting to crown him something. We've been waiting to label him something outside of the nicknames that people have given him. I think this is that period now where Joel realizes, okay, it's you know, poop or get off the pot time.
Well, the crazy thing is because Philly is in 8th, and I don't think they have a chance of falling to 9th where your Bulls are or getting past 7. Even if they do get to 7, they're pretty much just assuring themselves a home game of the play-in and how all that goes. They can wind up playing Boston in round one, depending on how things go.
Round one, right.
They can wind up being put out in round one regardless. They can wind up playing the Milwaukee Bucks in round one if it comes down to it. And if Joel Embiid isn't actually really healthy, like, the longer it goes, the healthier he'll get, you know, on that knee. Because it's not, you know what I mean? Like, Jason, it's not necessary. It's like you're playing on it to get more muscle memory, to get yourself healthier. And then as the playoff atrophy starts to hit, you presumably get stronger, but we don't know. Like, there's only 3 weeks left before the start of the playoffs. Like, I don't know if that's enough time for a guy like that who's had problems with conditioning throughout his career to get himself conditioned, to get himself effective, let alone turning himself into a dude who averages 35 and 12. That's asking for a lot.
No, it is. It is. But I'll ask you this. Do you think that Philadelphia team, as we are recording right now, they're 2 games out of the 6th spot that the Pacers hold, right? The Miami Heat figuring things out. They won a couple of games in a row here. You know, they're trying to figure out what that balance is with Terry Rozier. You know, it's starting to affect games a little bit more. But do you think if they chase down the Philadelphia 76ers and they slide into that 6th spot, do you think they can't beat the Cleveland Cavaliers with a 65-70% Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey playing the way that, you know, we know he can play at times? Like, do you think that the Cleveland Cavaliers, Philadelphia 76ers situation is so out of the realm of possibility, because I think that the 76ers could beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm with
you. If it comes to it, right? Because Cleveland has big dudes or tall dudes. They don't got big dudes.
Tall dudes. You know, right.
Jared Allen, tall and skinny. Evan Mobley, who I've on here, I've said when I see him, I see Wake Forest Tim Duncan. He's Slim Duncan, not Tim Duncan. He ain't put on that grown man weight, and I don't know if he ever actually will. So if there's a matchup for Joel Embiid that he can pound on some dudes, it's probably Cleveland. Can they defend Donovan Mitchell, who's been a really good playoff player throughout the course of his career? That's another question. But I think if you're asking me if I'd rather play Boston in round one, Milwaukee in round one, or Cleveland, the easy answer is going to be Cleveland. Now, here's a question I have for you, Jason Goff. Mm-hmm. Before we even get to the Bulls, and this is near and dear to John Gennaro's heart, because Dallas decided they've had enough of the Houston Rockets, right? They went into Houston and crushed the buildings last night. They
beat their ass.
Literally. You had Luka Doncic throwing it off the backboard, throwing it off the scoreboard in the pregame. That should have been a precursor to let y'all know this dude ain't coming to play with y'all today. Am I wrong for thinking that Dallas, because you got two really good closers in Kyrie and Luka?
Here we go.
And that their defense has actually been a lot better. Okay, and you got multiple bigs that you could throw, not great bigs, but just bigs and bodies that you can throw out there. Are they a party crasher?
So, what do you think of Jason Kidd as a head coach? Because I got to define the terms first of party crashers.
I think Jason Kidd catches a lot of hell because of people's first impressions of him. We are a people of first impressions. We are a people of confirmation bias. The number one thing we think about you is going to be the only thing we think about you. And it's going to be real hard to get out of that box. This damn near love doctor metaphor, but we can take that somewhere else, right? But I think Jason is actually really good at the preparation. I think Jason Kidd is really good at getting his guys motivated to play. Like, you see the soft-spoken, the guy who speaks in hushed tones. That ain't the real Jason Kidd, y'all. Like
Jason Kidd is an animal.
Right. When he was a player, all his guys play for him. When he's a coach, yes, sometimes these dudes, he wears on them because he's exhausting. But I feel like in the playoffs, he probably gets players to play over their heads a little bit better than they should.
So the reason I ask that is because right now we're looking at them matched up against the LA Clippers. We know the respect that we have for their head coach. And
yes, we do.
We'll continue to have for their head coach. If you think Jason Kidd is going to be able to match wits with Lou, then cool. I worry about that part of it. I worry about that part of it. And also, man, Kawhi. You know, are we getting Terminator Kawhi? You know what I mean? Are we getting playoff P? Like, there's so many variables. Yes, 5-4. I think that might be the most entertaining first-round matchup of any of these playoffs. Of Eastern or Western Conference. So when we say party crashes, that's a tough party to crash. Because, you know, James Harden, I know the whole he don't care about what anybody thinks about him, and I know that is very, very true. But I also think that James Harden has got a little bit of something to prove that he's been trying to do sneakily over the last 3 years, where it's like, hey, man, I'm just out here trying to make MVP candidates. You know, I'm just out here helping dudes reach their heights. I'm just out here having a good time. I'm out here closing out on shots Kawhi Leonard's putting up because I want to shake some things up. I think we're going to see James Harden, because we're not expecting anything of him. I think we're going to see James Harden have a couple of turn back the clock moments in these playoffs. And I'm just rooting for that, you know, specifically because I'm intrigued by this entire Clippers thing. So if the Mavericks had a different matchup, and as we're recording today, it's Clippers at 4, Mavs at 5. You know, the Pelicans, if the Pelicans slide in there and they're against the Mavericks, well, I might pick the Mavericks because they got, you know, the two best players on the court, in my estimation. I love Zion. I love Brandon Ingram, but Kyrie in the playoffs and Luke in the playoffs, I'm going to roll with those two cats. So if we're talking about them, you know, crashing that Pelicans party, sure. But that Clippers party, it's the brand on the can. I understand. Like when you go in the grocery aisle, you're like, ah, man, I really wanted to get the chunky soup, but I guess I'll get this. I guess I'll get this off-brand joint because you know money's kind of funny these days. You know, inflation. You know, so damn you, government. Like, right? Like we saying that, and we keep doing that with the Clippers. It's like it's the brand on the can, man. We see Steve Ballmer over there going crazy after every layup. We know it ain't the Clippers town in L.A. All these other things. If they had anybody else on the front of their jerseys, we'd be like, hey, better watch out.
Better be cool. But because we've seen this movie before, we've seen playoff P on the side of the backboard, because we've seen Kawhi Leonard take Kevin Durant's lunch one game and then say, oh, my knee hurts.
I'm out.
And not my knee hurts like a torn meniscus. Like, I ain't saying it to be funny. Like, he's literally, like, I saw him take Kevin Durant's lunch in that game one against Phoenix last year. And I'm like, oh, we got something here. And then the next damn game, Christmas is canceled. All right, dog.
Can't go.
It's multiple things we don't know how to have conversations about before we go to break. We don't know how to talk about Ime Udoka. Okay? We cannot discuss Ime Udoka in all facets.
Can.
Yeah, I know you can. Yeah,
I
know you can. I said we.
I would love to some one of these days. Yes. I can't wait. Kidding me? Huh? Hey, under duress, huh? Lead a team to glory out here when things ain't right.
things don't never seem right. He just seems to operate in chaos. It's just one thing after another, and that's maybe when he does his best work, right?
Hey, real ones relate.
Look, Ime Udoka in Houston is a reality show in itself, okay? You can just check the demos. If that man is happy, then the players are going to perform, right?
God bless Houston.
He and Jalen Green got a lot in common, right?
Yes, they do.
Oh, and we don't know how to talk about that. And we wouldn't know how to talk about James Harden as a playoff redemption type of story because we've written the book on James Harden. Because we know exactly how this story ends. We've never seen Harden in the spot where, okay, we don't need you, but we'd love to have you steal a game for us. If James Harden steals two games in a playoff series like he did against Boston last year in the second round, your team wins the series now because of the guys he's playing with. He did that last year and then didn't show up in game seven, so we forgot about the two games that he single-handedly stole. If he does that this year in a series or multiple series, the Clippers are going to the finals.
Ooh, that's where we're going with it?
I'm saying
okay.
if he
can be that guy. I got you.
He can be a playoff pumpkin in the other four games or five games of the series. But if he single-handedly wins you two games in a series, every series, are they going to the finals?
Like a souped-up Eddie House kind of vibe? Or it's like, no, I'm saying, like, you remember, like, when Eddie, and no matter what team Eddie was on deep in the playoffs, like, hey, at some point, that dude's going to hit 5 3-pointers to send your ass home, right? There's going to be, you know, the Mike Millers of the world, the Shane Battiers of the world. Somebody's going to knock down them shots.
I got a better one for you because this is near and dear to your heart in good and bad ways. You ready for this? You ready for the name I'm about to say?
Yeah, give it to me.
What if he's playoff Rondo?
Ooh. Listen. Which one, though? Because Pelicans Rondo did work. Bulls Rondo did work. Of course, Celtics Rondo when it became a big four, right? Like when it was like, hey, y'all, move over Hall of Famers. I'm running the show here. Like, hey, Bubble Rondo, right? Like things matter. IQ matters. I think James is a smarter basketball player than we give him credit for.
Absolutely.
It's just when he goes off the reservation, it's like, all right, how can we?
We got trust issues. Right. That's all.
like why can't you do this all the time, son? You get A's in every other class. Why is Jim kicking your ass like this? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like what's going on? Hey, I'm just not dressing out like I'm supposed to. You know, this is how
Is he going to be James Harden or Jim Harden? Like, that's the question. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Is it game six? My head hurt? Or is it, hey, y'all, I'm the baddest man on the planet? Because he'll have baddest man on the planet, like, three possession spurts where it's like, hey, man, that's still James Harden out there. And then he'll settle back into his role. So I'm looking forward to it. We all know Paul George as your second fiddle is something to behold, right? Asking Paul to be the dude is a different story.
I have a theory on Paul. I think Paul can be your best player or your third best player. I think he has trouble.
You don't like second best Paul?
I think he doesn't like double Dutch. You don't know exactly when to jump in. You know what I mean?
So you taking this from the Oklahoma City run?
Because
the Oklahoma City run with him and Russ was weird. And it was like, who was the man in certain moments when Russ, down the stretch, they pack in the lane and they're going to ask you, hey, go ahead and shoot that thing. Right. And Paul's like, wait a minute, they pack in the lane now because you on the court too and I can't get there either. You know what I mean?
I put it like this. I think that's a great point. I think with PG, it is a matter of, especially with a guy like Russ back then, because Russ took up so much oxygen that it's hard for you to figure out, okay, when do I assert myself without upsetting the apple cart here? Similar with Kawhi, because Kawhi is a high usage guy. But when Kawhi got hurt in 2021 and Paul had to be the number one guy, oh, this is my show? Are we going to play at my pace? Bet. Now, if he's your third best player, that also means, hey, y'all don't need that much from me. I can be the guy that defends and disrupts and hit threes, and the stuff I give you is gravy. I think that's the best use of him. But for the Clippers, he has to be that second guy, which makes things a little bit, put it like this. At his best, he's a much better Scottie Pippen.
I was going to say, it's Pip. It's Pip, right? And I mean, you know what the kids are doing now on social media.
Unfortunately,
Paul being the GOAT. Like he came into the city the other night and went, what, 12 or 13? Like, I understand sometimes where the kids are coming from, not with the greatest of all time thing, but, you know, name me a prettier basketball player in the league.
Like, oh, no, the aesthetic.
If you just watch him, come on, man.
The aesthetic is smooth. It's water. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's water. I get it. So, well, speaking of Scottie Pippen, we're going to talk about these dreadful Bulls who last won a championship when Jay-Z released Volume 2. You know what I mean? Like, that's how long.
We were having fun.
I'm sorry. That's how long ago it was. Fun. Yeah, we're having fun. We'll be back. Jason Goff right here on Good Work. Back here on The Good Word with Jason Goff. Jay, I just thought about this because this is Monday and today is the Two Americas women's basketball game between LSU and Iowa. And one thing that annoyed me, and I literally just thought about this in like the past couple minutes.
Angel Reese?
Hmm? No. She doesn't annoy me at all. Don't do that. Now, Cruella DeVille every now and again, she may get on my nerves, okay?
Oh, very much so. Well, that's Tickfall Louisiana's finest. Like, there's certain things that you just, you know, gotta understand that come along with the package.
One thing that I saw last night, I forgot what regional game it was. I think it was in Portland where the Lions weren't equal across the floor. And it might have been Chinne Ogumike from ESPN says, you know, the men, they wouldn't have played like this. They would have said, get the lines right. The women, they're saying it's March Madness, we're going to play. I'm like, that shouldn't be no badge of honor. You know what I mean? To say, hey, we're going to play in conditions that are not up to code. You know, raise the standard. And secondarily, I feel like, Jason, this is why I'm asking you. The women's tournament, I think, is good enough to stand on its own and not be compared to the men's tournament. Oh, there's more interest in the women's tournament than the men's. I'm telling y'all, that's a slippery slope to walk on. A, because Cooper Flagg is going to Duke next year. And if there is anything that America loves wrapping its arms around is Duke. And if there's anything that the other segment of America loves to wrap its arms around in a chokehold is a great Duke player. Like, the pendulum could swing, but that wouldn't.
And a great white Duke player. Let's get real specific out here.
See, that is why I love you, Jason Goff, right? So
that's why I'm here for it. I can't wait
for it either, right? So I'm saying, I feel like you got to be real careful about saying women's game better than the men's game, because if the pendulum swings and people start saying, well, the men's game this year is better than the women's game, then we are wrong for saying that, which we would be. I'm saying the women's game should be good enough on its own with where it is now to not be compared to the men's, because it's two totally different ball games.
It's two different sports. It's two different sports. One has quarters, like it should.
Yes. Yes, right? The women's game has the quarters.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, it's two different sports. You know, when the Pete Maravich, Caitlin Clark stuff was happening, I was so annoyed. Mm-hmm. So annoyed. Because, one, we didn't do this before Caitlin Clark with any other women's basketball player. You know, we weren't looking at top 10 lists and being like, hey, look who's number 7. You know what I mean? Look who's at number 8. Oh, where is Cheryl Miller on the all-time women's basketball score, all-time basketball, college basketball scoring list, right? And I was specifically, and I said this to my lady, and, you know, she gave me that look like, are you trying? I'm like, no, I'm not trying to discredit the women. What I'm trying to say is I don't need Pete Maravich's numbers to appreciate what Caitlin Clark is doing.
Yep.
And I think it creates a disservice when we start to have to, you know what it is? It's mansplaining. It's all it is, all right, so this is how cold she is. Remember Pete Maravich without the three-point line? You know, floppy socks, sad eyes, all that good shit. Man, well, Caitlin Clark, no, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need baseball players to be compared to minor league baseball players. That doesn't happen. Right, I'm not saying the women's game is the minor league game.
Saying, yeah,
if in fact, right now, the college men's game feel like the minor league game. And this is the other thing, too. Like, be careful what you ask for, because now people are starting to spill into your sport who have ruined ours.
Mm.
Okay? We have been around these men all our lives, right? We have been in these arenas listening to dudes hate the reasons why they like college basketball better than NBA basketball.
Talk about it.
Right?
Talk about it.
Yeah. All that goofy stuff about they don't play it to the last 2 minutes. Man, can you get that soft racism up out of here? Like, put a hard ER on it. You feel me? Like, oh, you know, they don't really try as hard yet. Until the last 2 minutes of the game. I don't know if you know that about this old NBA game. I love the college game where they're not getting paid and bands and cheerleaders are enthused and everybody in the faculty is out there screaming in the student section. Like, come on, dog. Like, it's mind-blowing to me that we can't, and we've done this, and it's because it's, I call it the ESPNization of our society in sports conversations, where either we got to have points while we talking, like me and you having a conversation, all of a sudden I just hear a ding in my head because we're conditioned to think that, right? Like, ooh, I got one over on Vinny.
No,
we're just having a conversation. And if we're having a conversation about the women's game and these people are now starting to come into it, the same way y'all treating DJ Allen out here, NC State kid who is a player, y'all keep treating him like he's some fat dancing bear, right?
Like novelty, not like a dude who putting up numbers.
What if Iowa State's Audie Crooks gets to start being treated like that, right? It's going to get nasty. So before we start to compare, well, this is what would happen if this was the men's game, be happy that these people are on the outside of your sport for as long as it's going to last. Because now that you have a white combatant and a black combatant, and they now are going at it two straight years, whether that be Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark or the state of Louisiana and the state of Iowa, enjoy this little Hatfield and McCoy before it gets muddy and it gets stupid, because it's coming. It is coming, because now we're starting to see those people infiltrate the women's game. It's like, oh, these dirty debutantes, these sassy black girls and their back talk. You know what I mean?
I don't even want to Google dirty debutantes because I'm like,
man. You didn't see the LA Times piece?
No. I know what you mean. I'm saying I don't want to Google dirty debutantes because I feel like I would need to have the safe filter on my phone. Or on my work computer. I don't know what's going to come up for me.
It auto spelled it for me. It was like, oh, now we know what you're looking for, Jay. I'm like, no. It's basketball.
It's going to take you to a different type of hub, and I ain't trying to go there. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, don't knock what you ain't tried before. You feel me? Like, you know, just take a walk around. You ain't got to buy. You can just, you know, glance. But I all I know is for all the, and I love Chiney's work. I do. But for all the people who are upset that, like, the man's game, this would never happen, just wait until the people who are around the man's game start to infiltrate and ruin your sport for you as well. Because it's coming. Like, I love Paige. I used to get made fun of here in the city of Chicago on the station that I was working at because I was enthused about the WNBA. And they kind of beat it out of me. They're like, hey, we ain't talking about that. We got to talk about the fourth pitcher on the Chicago Cubs. Or, you know, we got to talk about the backup left tackle on the Bears. I'm like, no. Do you see what Tina Thompson is out here doing? Like, do you see what the comments are? You know what I mean? Like, so don't worry. It's coming. So the three-point line, hey, you know, These are just follies and blips on the radar screen. That's Michael Jordan's jersey getting stolen in Orlando. You just wait. When Juju gets close to Caitlin's record, because it's gonna happen.
Ooh, baby.
When Juju gets close to Caitlin's record,
have security around that woman.
You're about to see how much people have loved Iowa women's basketball for the last 3 or 4 years. Watch. So it's coming. Don't worry. Y'all going to get what y'all want. It's coming. And you may not like it. And you're going to be sad just like us, because we remember when we used to have fun, interesting sports conversations instead of just comparing people to eras and in games past, where that's just not the case. The women's game has evolved so much. I remember when we used to practice against the ETHS, my high school, women's basketball team. And they just get us running around in the gym, about 6 or 7 of us. And they, hey, come play against our girls.
Right.
Come throw them around a little bit. Come make them a little bit tougher. And we got in there and got our asses kicked. And I was like, all right, this is what it's supposed to be. There need not be any comparison. These are the best athletes on the floor.
Right.
I don't need any dude coming in here talking about Pete Maravich or comparing games and none of that. Nah, man. Yeah, just let the game do what it's supposed to do. And I think that especially with the Civil War we're getting ready to watch and the pending Civil Wars that we're getting ready to watch. Hey, South Carolina, by the way, they just out here like the Death Star. Y'all can have all that fun y'all having over there.
Come see us.
We just gonna keep marching along.
Just come see
us.
You know what I mean? Come see me.
I'm with it.
Come see Dawn Staley. You got it. You gotta come.
Shout out to Dawn.
You gotta come see M. Bison before the end of Street Fighter, baby.
You already know.
That's what it is. Now speaking of shall we say championship traditions.
I thought we was going to have some fun.
We are.
John, I was trying my lungs.
I'm going
to
have John put in the Alan Parsons project in there so we can have we can give it its proper etiquette. Once again, the Chicago Bulls, y'all, they have not won a championship since, I think, Biggie had been dead for like a year. You know what I mean? Like it's been that long.
It's 98.
I think Jay-Z was probably like 2 albums in.
Man, kidding me? It was 98. We were still rapping about Cherry Red Pathfinders. You feel me?
Shiny suits.
Shiny suits.
We thought Puffy was harmless in 1998. My goodness, how times have changed, right?
Speak for yourself. Yourself.
Okay.
Anybody that smiles that much, it's my Tim Tebow rule. Anybody that smiles that much is some danger lurking around the corner. Shout out to Tim. You know, not him, but, you know, anybody that's always got a grin on their face, they know something that you don't know. Right. They know something that you don't know.
They had something.
And shout out to everybody involved. The thoughts and prayers.
There you go. Now, before we...
But back to the Bulls.
Yeah, back to the Bulls. Now, because I wrote about this the day after it happened. Jason, you were in the building, I think, when it happened. And it was a long time ago, so we don't have to harp on it too much. I'm still shocked that these dudes booed Jerry Krause's widow, that Chicago booed that old woman, because The Last Dance just stoked all the fires. I just want people to understand when I say this, I'm not being mean. Jerry Krause saved the Bulls from some level of embarrassment, because if you're holding on to Michael Jordan being the greatest player ever, it's 6-0. Didn't lose in the finals and didn't lose as a version of himself since 1990. All those things are facts. If he came back in 1999 with a disgruntled Pippen, if Pippen decided to come back, or Dennis decided
back
to come
back, Pippen too.
Baby, I don't care if it's lockout year, whatever it was, baby, that would not have went well. So I'm going to say that wouldn't have went well. So they should be cheering that man.
Yeah. Oh, listen. We talked about it while it was going on. Immediately, you know, we came back from break. And I was like, you know, it was one of those moments in my career where, you know, I asked Vinny Del Negro, hey, you worried about getting fired? Because Tyreek Evans just came back from 23 down and busted your ass. And Vinny looked at me and was like, no, why should I have job security, you know, questions? And people went around the city like, oh, I can't believe you asked that. Next thing you know, Vinny was fired. Like, there's been several moments in my career where I've stared down a moment where I'm like, what am I going to say about this? And usually it's the truth, like how I feel. That was a disgusting moment. And everybody involved should be ashamed. I'm talking about the guys who didn't show up to celebrate such a momentous occasion and a time that, let's face it, man, we went through COVID as a world. None of these days are promised.
That's absolutely
none of
right.
You know, you can mess around and think you're going to have a 25th or 30th year reunion. There's going to be some seats that ain't filled because people are gone. Mm-hmm. And the fact that a man was gone and his widow was there. And, you know, there's some people here in the city who tried to rationalize it. We tried to, you should have known that this was going to happen.
Yeah, I heard it, yeah.
All you're doing is giving credence to cowardice, right? And it kind of shows me how you get down as well. Like, I've never been a person who's booed anyway, though, Vinny. Like, I've never been a person who's like, you know, imparts yourself into the actual event that in that way. I'll clap, right? I'll go crazy when a big shot is made. But I was in the UC when Jerry Stackhouse set the United Center scoring record. I believe it was the day after New Year's or like it was either December 30th or January 2nd. You know, went to the game. Jerry Stackhouse put up 52, something 57. Like that. 57. Look, of course, Vinny would know. He put up 57, and I was sitting there watching it, and I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I'm a Bulls fan, but I'm not about to boo this team.
Right.
They getting mopped up by a professional right now. I came here for a professional show. So I'm not the booing type. So when I hear the boos start to rain, the problem is the way that it was broadcasted was not the way that it felt in the stadium too, because the spotlight had already moved to Jerry Krause's widow. So now the spotlight is on this little old lady who is sitting there trying to take in whatever moment, you know, let's face it, she's still grieving.
Right.
Like, that's
her
dude.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, we know what happens when people go after you've been married for a long time. So she's on the big board and the boos just start to rain down because they see Jerry Krause's name and hear him announce. But at the same time, it's like, y'all see, one, you know he's not here. Right. And if you're a young fan doing this, then you're just a super lame. Now you know what I mean?
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, rats raise rats, right? like you sitting there like, man, your daddy, I can tell that your daddy is born next to you and you 17 years old thinking that you should do it. It was a bad look for the franchise. It was a bad look for the fan base. It was a bad look for everybody who kind of cultivated that narrative, including Michael Jordan, you know, and Scottie Pippen. It was a bad look for everything that came out of that Last Dance documentary that was filled with propaganda, right? I mean, let's face it. It got released because LeBron was getting ready to win a championship and Mike was like, y'all ain't going to forget about me and COVID. Mm-mm, nah. I've been sitting on this for 10 years. Please get closer. I dare you. You know, step over this line. Baddest man hit my hand. All right, bet. I'm dropping this. So it was a tough look for everybody involved. I think it's one of the five worst moments probably in this franchise's history, to be honest with you. And the way it resonated, the architect, the most storied and most accomplished general manager and architect in this city's history.
Ooh, yeah.
History. Yeah. Not, you know, say what you want about the Bears. There's a couple of championships there, and one of them ain't even the Super Bowl. Okay? We're talking about an NFL championship. All right. Say what you want about the White Sox. Hey, that season in 06 that only I and a few thousand of my friends really took in. And then the Cubs run. Right. Historic. Right. Theo Epstein did what he had to do. Nobody is Jerry Krause. Nobody. So for this city that leans on its sports knowledge the way that it does in terms of identity to have that reaction is still one of those things that I think it's the moment of the year of this season for the Bulls. And it sucks because you know, how much of a bad taste it should have left in everyone's mouth. And if you didn't feel bad about it, then, you know, I've been saying it for a while now, and I'm going to continue to say it through this summer. Bring shame back.
Yeah.
Bring
yeah,
shame back. A certain amount of shame is necessary for everybody.
Yeah. Now, tougher transition, because this is what, year four? Like, you said it all. Like, there's nothing for me to say. And when I saw it, I was just, I know that organization from having spent time there. And I know a segment of those fans from having been the Detroit defector. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I get it. Yeah. Like, some people would boo me when they saw me. I'm like, bro, I didn't do it. I didn't.
Ultimate sign of respect for Vinny.
Hey, you know I didn't give a damn. You know what I mean? Like, it was hilarious.
Still
don't. Yeah, still don't. But no, but the Chicago fans, the ones that I've interacted with, all been good. But yeah, not his finest moment. But Jason, this team, where this team sits now, sneakily, they have not been a bad club since December, right? The Zach LaVine surgery, is he going to get traded? You know, that sort of, once he had surgery, that kind of move things out of the way. It's not something you have to address in a moment. Lonzo Ball out for the year. Maybe he's walking again. Maybe he will play next season. Who the hell knows? Right. Kobe White is on my short list of most improved players. He's turned out to be a much better pro than I ever would have imagined, given what I saw to him this first couple of years. Not that he was a bad player, I just didn't see him turning into, you know, 21-6-5 since December.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he's been a beast. And you got DeMar DeRozan, who's still doing work at age 35. How do you, and I guess it's a two-parter, how do we capitalize not only this season, because the Bulls will find themselves in the play-in again, where they'll probably play Atlanta and then figure out what happens after that. How do you capitalize not only this Bulls season, but the last few years, where I think they're the one franchise that hasn't made a trade in the last 2 years or something like that?
Yeah, they're the only franchise that has not made a move at the trade deadline the last, I believe it's the last three, if I'm not mistaken. You know, Arturis Karnišovas came out when he had to speak to the media this year and mentioned being competitive. And it rubbed a lot of Bulls fans, including me, the wrong way, because you just mentioned it. You know, there's six championship banners in those rafters. But Vinny, they're so long ago that Bulls fans, you know, that apathy, it sets in. And it's like, no, there's things happening here, but they want this thing to be turned over. And with the fate of Derrick Rose's knees and the Jimmy Butler situation at the end and Tom Thibodeau, there's been so many moments where the Bulls thought that they were getting ready to, Bulls fans, I should say, thought that they were getting ready to hear those two words, which is, I do, right? Like it's time now. It's time. You're supposed to be in this, you know, this threesome of NBA Eastern elite, right? Whether it be with Philly, whether it be with Boston, whether it be with Milwaukee, some combination, but you're supposed to put something together. And those first couple of months was the first couple of months of the Lonzo Ball era was the next version of the, you know.
Jason, I thought they had found the right formula.
They were. DeMar DeRozan. Hey, listen, Lonzo Ball stays healthy. We're talking about DeMar DeRozan the way that we were talking about Chris Paul when he joined the Phoenix Suns. When it was like, hey, it's a young squad, but they got that veteran presence dropped in on them. Now it's time to take it to the next level. You know, DeMar DeRozan came here on the redemption tour and never really slowed down. Like, we thought DeMar was going to be Zach's Robin, and then DeMar shows up, hey, I got to show the Clippers and the Lakers and all these other teams that I was interested in that really weren't interested in me in the same manner. I'm going to show them that I can still hoop. Lonzo's doing the hit-ahead passes, all that shooting stuff that we had heard the first couple of years of Lonzo's career. Hey, don't know if y'all was watching. 7 threes a game, 39%, 38%. We talking about volume and accuracy at that position. Yep. You put him next to Zach. Zach's defensive deficiencies get put on the back burner because now he can stick the most creative and explosive perimeter player on the other team. There was things happening there, right? Even with Patrick Williams, the slow walk that has been, he started to score in double digits this year. Like, there's been so many.
Man, I've been waiting on Patrick Williams for years now. That is the stock.
One of the best bodies in the game, brother.
And you know what? I'm a sucker for that. Because Stanley Johnson was a guy that I said, grown man body as a teenager. And like, he's going to be that. He's the future.
Something. You can't be 6'7", 240 at 19 and we like, oh, no, we could just go ahead and dismiss that. No, Patrick Williams had all the mannerisms of Kawhi Leonard, right? And fourth pick in the draft, I'm like, oh, big hands, could defend, knock down a three, came up with point guard roots as a high schooler. So all these things combined for Bulls fans. And then you just run out of gas as a fandom. You just run out of, damn, man, all the things that I've hoped for keep getting smashed. Hurt, leaving, wanting to be traded, right? The GM that comes in tells you you're going to build through the draft and through scout. Next thing you know, you trade the young players for Nikola Vucevic. Lauri Markkanen becomes the first player to have, 200 threes and 100 dunks in a season in NBA history. We was waiting for Lauri to do that for years here. So all these things.
I don't blame them for Lauri, though.
No, I don't blame it. Well, let me tell you this, though. It's the franchise that hires Jim Boylan and says, cultivate this young talent, too.
Point taken. Right. What's Norman Dale from Hoosiers? I swear that's who Jim Boylan thought he was. We're going to bench the guys in the second half of this game so I can prepare them for practice the next day. And it's a day after a back-to-back when nobody practices. That was the most clown car of clown cars I've ever seen. And I don't think Jim Boylan was like a bad dude or anything like that. I just think that it got to him.
Hey, there is documented proof of Jim Boylan doing push-ups in the middle of a player circle. Okay? Like, he is a different kind of cat.
If it works, you're Dan Campbell. If it doesn't, you're Jim Boylan. You know what I mean?
If it doesn't, you're the coach in the Chris Farley sketch living in a van down by the river. That's what it is. That's what it is. You look crazy. Like, millionaires are sitting there, you know, trying to get over the flight that landed at 3 a.m. Like, hey, man, why is this dude in the middle of five-serve form doing push-ups? Why are we supposed to be going over how we going to wall off Giannis Antetokounmpo? So Bulls fans have dealt with this for the last, I don't know, 25 years. And then for the last 3 years, you're sitting there looking at, okay, Zach's connection to this city and what it is and what it isn't. And the benching that happened in Orlando and how he still had that stuck in his craw about, hey, you don't bench me. Like, this is not who I'm supposed to be looked at as or viewed as. Zach went to those Olympics and came back and looked around that locker room. Was like, hey, wait a minute, hold on. I was just in a locker room where I was getting respected by Kevin Durant and Greg Popovich. Something got to change here. And when that happened, all of a sudden, got to add Vooch. You got to add Lonzo. Now you add DeMar. The Kobe White thing, I appreciate. Like, there's little victories in this, right? Mm-hmm. Before Julian Phillips got hurt, the second round pick out of Tennessee, love the way he moves, got hurt. Patrick Williams is playing well, got hurt. Kobe White, he just had this hip injury that I think, I wouldn't say derailed his most improved player chances, but he was on a run where the data was sizable.
Yes.
Like, this man added 10 points per game to his scoring average. That don't happen in the league for a dude who's been here for it. That maybe happens like after the rookie year where it's like year one to year
two. That's not most improved to me. That's literally, we're changing what we think about you, not necessarily natural progression. This is a natural progression for Kobe White.
Right. So Kobe, and he got his handle together. Like, there's nobody that I've appreciated the work that they have put in this city in any sport the way I do Kobe White. Kobe White was talked about being traded every single year of his Bulls career. And every year he came back with a little something different. Right. And people forget Kobe's 6'5". Like, Kobe's not some little guard, 6'1", 6'2". He got short arms, right? So he doesn't feel and look as rangy as he is. But that's a tough dude, man. That dude's backstory is inspiring. All he does is look inward. Like, you hear that cliche, a lot about dudes, and then you hear about them in you know, pointing fingers when they know, like, because the smartest of them know when to point the fingers and how to point the fingers, right? Like, we watched LeBron James for 20 some odd years now, know exactly how to point a finger, so much so that he's made it a certain art form that we're like, oh, that's LeBron pointing a finger. That's all it is.
The time on the calendar.
Here come a tweet. You know what I mean? That kind of vibe. Kobe White will do everything right in a basketball game and literally sit down in the press game, in the post game press conference, and tell you the things that he did wrong in a win. And it's not just lip service, because you see his game, he doesn't make the same mistakes 2-3 times. So there's certain things that we as Bulls fans, true Bulls fans, because let's face it too, there's Jordan fans in this city and they're Bulls fans. And Jordan fans dip their toe in the Bulls water every once in a while and come back, oh, it ain't the Jordan Bulls. I don't need to really care. Why would you ever watch this? And then it's us Bulls fans who was watching those Ed Neely, Larry Krystowiak, you know, Corey Benjamin, Keith Booth years, the Marcus Fizer years, feel me? You know, the Khalid El-Amin years, right? The Chris Anstey years. Those years when it's like Rusty LaRue is out here putting up 15 shots a game. We watch this team and we love this team and we want this team to get over the hump. So there's certain things where it's like, yeah, I nerd out and like, oh yeah, go get him, Kobe. Go get him, because ain't nobody watching it, right? Like the relevance that this team doesn't have that they were shooting for. We got booed during the All-Star weekend that we hosted here, and then the world got shut down. Okay? So, like, there's been moments where Bulls fans keep getting stabbed, but we keep patching it up and coming out hoping for better days. It's just injuries and defections and management. You know, there's been so many things that's been in the way that these last 2 years have kind of numbed a lot of people in the city when it comes to the Bulls. And then you don't have your draft picks because of the DeMar trade, because of the Vooch trade. So, you know, I think Michael Reinsdorf is kind of giving the edict to Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. Hey, you got yourselves into this. Get yourselves out of it. It's just Bulls fans don't know what that even looks like because they don't know what to count on.
Well, I'll say this. You talked about Jordan fans and Bulls fans. I learned that, Jason, when it was Derrick Rose fans and Bulls fans. Because he meant something completely different to the city in a different way. And then if you're like, hey, man, Jimmy Butler's actually, you know, that guy, then it's like you're betraying the city. No, how am I doing such a thing? It's a really weird and
insolent. Pick a side.
Yes, it's very pick a side.
I remember the end of that Rose-Butler run when it was like, you know, he cold and all, but he kind of taking the ball out of D Rose's hands. You know, I'm like, hey man, you need a 6'6" wing. You need it.
It's amazing. Cause I remember telling Bulls fans when they would say, well, just trade Jimmy. I'm like, okay, just know if you trade him because you don't think he's that dude, you better be getting the dude back in return. Cause for all the trouble that he's giving you, he's keeping you relevant. And lo and behold, he takes two teams to the finals. Two overmatched teams to the finals, and y'all can't get out of the first round. But we got good news because they beat Minnesota last night.
Yeah, they did.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They beat, and Minnesota ain't just a good team. Minnesota is a team that's in a battle for the first seed. And the Bulls, even if you don't think they have anything necessarily to play for, these are bricks that you are stacking because you are fighting to make yourself relevant in a play-in game against Atlanta that I think you should win. And then presumably, if you get out of that and you get the AFC, you're playing the Celtics. And we know how that's going to go. Yeah. But, Jason, they've explained to me what this long-term outlook is. Because you got DeMar. DeMar's a free agent after this year. And he's at 35. He could be saying, hey, y'all, I'm really trying to win. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going to happen with Lonzo Ball. Luckily, you got Kobe White on a decent deal, you know what I mean, where it's not going to hurt you. Zach LaVine, supermax deal. Does he get along with Billy Donovan? Are you guys going to hit the reset button? Like, what is there a most likely scenario that you see happening?
Most likely scenario is by next trade deadline, Zach LaVine will be somewhere else. I think NBA teams have to see that Zach is fully healthy. The problem is that Zach has never affected winning in a way that his talent would belie. Like he's an extremely talented player.
I don't think he can drive winning, but I think he can influence winning.
Yeah. No. Yeah. If Zach's your best player, I think you look at results like we've seen with the Bulls here for the last 4 or 5 years. As far as what this team has to look forward to, I think DeMar DeRozan has had such a good experience here. And DeMar is one of those dudes who just wants a good home, right? Like, I think it's very important to him and his family, and especially at this point in his career. I know winning is important to him, don't get me wrong. But also, how do you have to insulate your team if DeMar DeRozan is on it, playing the way he is? Mm-hmm. Because, like you mentioned, he's 35. DeMar is going to feel the way he feels right now on another team at 36, and then 37, and then 38. So if you're bringing him in there to be the number three, you know, all right, good luck, because DeMar going to put him up, right? So it's also the market for DeMar. I think what he's done with this young core, this young crew, they look up to him, and he's given them some very, very understated, I think, professional blueprints. You know, Ayo Dosunmu, the way that he's taken him under his wing. You look at the last month and a half of basketball that Ayo has played, it's been something. This was a dude who was getting DNP CDs to go on to averaging 16-7 for like a good 2.5 week stretch in an NBA season where they're trying to figure out their playing live. So there's little hints at, you know, something happening here. But I've always contended that, hey man, this is a team that should be building a nest for when a disgruntled player is ready to go. And it's a city that all these players love to hang out in the summer. Like, you'd be surprised how many NBA, you know, because you're here, but people outside of Chicago be surprised how many NBA players mess around and walk the streets of Chicago every single summer. It's just, do you want to play here in the winter? And when Milwaukee was having their little stare down with Giannis, I love the way we talk about basketball history, because if Giannis doesn't go back and win that championship, or if Giannis doesn't feel the way he was feeling, like we were talking about, like, hey man, you know, you're 1 hour and 15 away. Come on down.
That Nike thing is real, dog.
Yeah, just come on down if you're feeling that. That's why you hire Mark Eversley, right? You hire Arturis Karnišovas because there was, quote unquote, in no gym that he couldn't get into in the world. And then Mark Eversley had the Nike connection. So I've always put the point forth that this team, instead of thinking that it's going to attract some major free agents, which it's been able to do over this last couple of years in Lonzo and DeMar, before a long time, you know, the LeBron saga, even before that, Carmelo Anthony after that, like, you know,
the Tracy McGrady's of the world. Yeah.
I met Tracy McGrady at the airport when everybody had the wrong gate. Benny the Bull, everybody was at the wrong gate. And I was like, because I knew somebody who was working for the airline. I'm like, hey, which gate is he coming up there?
So how does Benny the Bull not know where Tracy McGrady is? Is that like one of those?
Well, BJ, I think the Bulls wanted to send people a little bit of a decoy. I think because I walk up and BJ Armstrong is at the gate. And that was when BJ was working for the team at the time. And he's like, what you doing here? I'm like, same thing you're doing here. I'm waiting for T-Mac to come off this plane so I could get my audio. And we rode the little escalator thing that you see in the Puffy Missing You video. Like,
Yeah.
We rode that little tram or whatever. Yeah, man. Like, these things have happened year in and year out. So I don't think that this is a place that free agents are destined to come to, but let a free agent have a bad year or 2 years. Like, build it up like Brooklyn did. Hey, Kenny Atkinson, love what you're doing here, but it's now time to flip the switch on this thing. And who knows? You know, Kevin Durant gets his toe back a couple inches, we might be talking about the Brooklyn Nets as champions and that big three never being broken up. So there are so many things that Bulls fans have to fight. And there also is that inferiority complex of, you know, like Will Smith in Fresh Prince, like, why don't he want me, man? Like, why don't he love me, right? Like, you wait for one of these dudes to drop it to your lap. For the foreseeable future, though, as strapped as they are with some of the draft picks over the next couple of years because of trades and, you know, what their bottom line is looking at as well, like, what does Michael Reinsdorf want? Like, does he want championships? Does he want to sell it all out and go through these second aprons of luxury taxes? Or do you just want to have, you know, good dinner theater for people here in the city of Chicago? Because Bulls games are a hell of a lot of fun. They're one of the more entertaining teams in the city.
Yes, they are. No, they're
like in the league.
Going to the United Center, it felt so familiar to me when I first started going, Jason, because I'm like, this building just feels like something. And I realized, Jason, it was a bigger version of the Palace of Auburn Hills. Like, that's what it was modeled after. Mm. The mid-suites, the way it was built up and built out and all of that stuff. And they added, like, there's a show element to it. And every team has, like, a show element to it, but a lot of it is just noise. You know what I mean? The Bulls actually have, like, a presentation. There's some, like, it's just waiting on a product that is befitting of all the other things around it. And I know Michael Reinsdorf pretty well. It's just a fine line of trying to figure out, can we win and make money? Can we keep this building full? Because we don't want to go back to being the 2001 Chicago Bulls. You know what I mean? Like, we like the building being full.
I understand.
It's a tough line. Absolutely it is.
Yeah. And I think that's something that is hard to get across to fans.
Yeah.
When you're like, hey, you know, everybody thinks that you have never-ending money, but in any business, there's a bottom line. And there's a certain number that you have to meet. There's a certain expectation. Like, everybody loves podcasting, right? But go out there and do it on your own and find out when you got to hire staff and get studio time. You're taking away from, you know, you're taking away from the profits that you might be paying yourself or to other employees. And I think the Bulls have gotten caught up in a lot of that, and they're a prisoner of their past, because anytime that man gets on the screen, you think about, oh, that's Michael Jordan. And then you think, oh, the Bulls used to be the Bulls. Like, this is one of the dynasties that we got a chance to witness. And, like, I won't say real dynasty, but, like, full on, there's no doubt. There ain't no one year that you missed, or won 3 out of 5, or won 4 out of 7. Them boys back-to-back three-peated. And the 2 years in between, you know, messed around. If it ain't for Hugh Hollins, you might be going
to another.
You talk about changing history. You talk about saving in terms of Jerry Krause, you know, breaking that thing up at the end. How different is history if Scottie Pippen takes that, was it the 94 team?
Yeah.
If Scottie Pippen takes that 94 team, beats the Knicks, and goes and faces off against Hakeem Olajuwon and them boys in the finals. Now, Robert Horry, Vernon Maxwell, and Keem probably win that series. Don't get me wrong.
Ain't no probably to it.
But we talking a lot differently. That talk ain't as spicy, because if you go to a finals without Michael Jordan, and it's the whole, hey, they never won, he never lost one. Well, guess what? The dude who's sitting next to the dude took that team to the finals against the dude who got drafted before the dude. So, you know, we having different conversations. I know how you and Bo feel about Pip, by the way. We're gonna have an offline conversation about this one today. It's a lot of Pip slander going. Y'all treating my man out here like he Reggie Miller, and I don't like it.
Reggie Miller at least carried a franchise, and Reggie Miller at least showed up in the last, and Reggie Miller at least showed up in the last 5 seconds of the game.
John, let's go ahead and wrap this.
Don't call it a sitting bull. You know what I mean?
Scottie
Pippen here. Are you serious?
I think we're done here now.
Everybody talk about 94 Pip. We don't talk about 95 Bulls when they 33-31, and Pip has got his Michael Jordan shoe talking about, come on home, please come back. Please come back.
Hey, things happen, man.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Heavy is the head that wears the crown. You feel me?
Did he ever wear it, or was he sitting down? My bad.
And now we're gonna do the Grant Hill biopic and mess around and blame Doug Collins for all that. Pip was running around doing everything that we love, all these all around ball players that they do. He was doing all of it. I'm not gonna have this, man. I was the last person on the Ben Simmons train. Damn it, I'm gonna be the last person on the Scottie Pippen train. Okay? I have an affection and an affinity for all around terrific basketball players who don't exhibit it all the time. Okay? They need love too. All right?
That's sure.
Shout out to the Andre Karolinkos of the world.
That's cute.
I'm not gonna let you slander my guys. Like
it's
this.
No slander. Look, man, it ain't slander if I just open a history book. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Goff.
You and Bo. We're going to have a conversation.
Thanks, Jason, for joining us today. I appreciate it. Don't forget to go subscribe to The Full Go. If you care about Chicago sports, of course you do. If you are able to consume the Bulls content, you will see Jason doing the pre and post game on NBC Sports Chicago with Will Perdue, Kendall Gill, that crew that I helped raise so that now Jason Goff can help them run. Thanks to producer John, the entire team that's worked so hard behind the scenes. John is an excellent, excellent master with the rundown. Thank you, John. Dan, he'll be back with another episode of Divine Intervention tomorrow, and I will be back on Wednesday right here for another episode of The Good Word. Until then, everybody be safe.